This is the son of PCJ.
This is London. This is London.
The Voice of Russia World Service.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
This is the Dutch World Broadcasting System in Hilversum, Holland, with a relay transmission via Bonaire in the Netherlands Antilles, directed to New Zealand.
This is Radio Prague, Czechoslovakia.
Ici Radio Canada. This is Canada.
Bonjour à vous si vous nous rejoignez sur Radio France Internationale. Il est 5h à Paris.
This is Radio Ukraine International.
This is the English program of Radio Deutsche Welle, Germany's international broadcasting service.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette Macquarie and Keith Perron.
Well, hello, friends and listeners. It's nice to have you with us for another edition of the show. Today, we're doing something special. We did this 6 months ago, and that was going into the archives featuring the best radio bloopers from past and present. And a number of you have suggested we do that again, so we're doing that today. Media Network Plus, we promise a full refund. But first, here's Paulette Macquarie with a look at some of the news happening in the world of media.
Belarus has banned the radio broadcast of several popular Russian songs with dissident undertones amid protests against the regime of President Alexander Lukashenko, sources say. Over the past few weeks, several songs, including late Soviet-era dissident rock icon Viktor Tsoi's famous We Are Waiting for Change, have disappeared from the airwaves of radio stations. Prominent Belarusian music critic Dmitry Podbereski told AFP, "As far as I understand, a representative of the information ministry calls a radio station and tells them that this or that song or performer is banned from now on." An employee of the country's largest state radio station, First Channel, told Poland-based independent cable television channel Belsat, on condition of anonymity, that several songs had been banned, above all those by Tsoi. She said a listener called into state radio recently and asked that Tsoi's famous song be put on the air, but the host refused. Then the listener asked, "Has censorship started?" The host did not know what to tell him, so he simply put the listener off the air. Meanwhile, in neighboring Ukraine, American J. Michael Willard has been named chief executive officer of the Kyiv Post, Ukraine's oldest and top English-language newspaper and one of the country's leading news sources. Mohamed Zahur, owner of the Kyiv Post, made the announcement on July 18th. Willard is a veteran marketing, public relations, and advertising executive with extensive experience in the United States and Ukraine. In the U.S., he worked for 8 years as an advisor to the late U.S. Senator Robert Byrd and also for U.S. Senator Jay Rockefeller, both of West Virginia. Willard's journalistic roots date back to his college days when he worked on the city desk with the Orlando Sentinel. He went on to work with the Tampa Times and the Springfield Union, as well as with United Press International from 1968 to 1976. Zahur is a native of Pakistan and a British citizen. He sold a Donetsk mini steel mill for close to $1 billion in 2008. He purchased the newspaper 2 years ago from its founder, American Jed Sundin. The Kyiv Post currently has a staff of about 45 people, including 30 in its news division. When asked how he feels now about buying the Kyiv Post, Zahur said he would never regret the decision. The Flemish government has reached agreement on a new strategy for VRT for the next 5 years. The Flemish public broadcaster will launch a full national TV network aimed at teens. Currently, two services share the second channel, Ketnet, mainly for children up to 2000, and from 2000 Canvas, with news, science, history, and sports. From 2013, these will become two separate networks, and Ketnet will expand to show programs aimed at teenagers after 2000. Canvas will also be available for more hours per day, providing an improved service for seniors who are not so eager to stay up for late-night programs. Rival commercial channels are not happy about VRT's plan to enter the youth market. Peter Kwakber is general manager of the Flemish Media Society VMMA, which represents the commercial broadcasters. He said VRT has no need for a third channel. They already have a market share of more than 40%. The advent of a third television channel for VRT has been mooted for some time. We have already protested against it from the beginning, but the Flemish government clearly did not take into account the concerns of commercial broadcasters, says Mr. Kvagber. There are already two commercial networks aimed at teens. Besides the third television channel, VRT is also getting a bigger budget. From 2012, the VRT will receive 293.4 million euros a year. This is 18 million euros more than at present. Radio Vlaanderen International, RVI, the Flemish worldwide service, will disappear. But as an alternative, Radio 1 and Radio 2 will be broadcast worldwide via satellite, and all radio channels will also be available worldwide via the Internet. It's not yet clear exactly when RVI will close. A delegation of senior DRM consortium members attended the 21st edition of KOBA, Korean Broadcasting Engineer and Technicians Association, exhibition and conference June 14th till 17th. The delegation held meetings with the major players and stakeholders in the radio digitization process in Korea. Meetings were also held to push for receivers for all the important DRM markets. DRM Chairperson Roxandra Obreja, along with Vice Chair Ludo Mace and Technical Committee Chair Lindsay Cornell, used the opportunity to meet senior Korean technologists and broadcasters. They also met Korean manufacturer MS Way, who have recently become DRM members, at their head office in Seoul and discussed their plans for commercial DRM-30 DRM Plus receiver. In Korea, the government has asked ETRI, the Broadcast Specialized Institute, to evaluate the various standards, and tests have been performed in Korea recently. Reports have been sent to the government, and bodies like the Digital Radio Committee, representing all Korean stakeholders, are now advising the government on what solution to go for. The chosen standard is scheduled to be announced by the end of this year. The collapse of News Corp's $12 billion takeover bid for British Sky Broadcasting, BSkyB, will not delay BSkyB's plans to launch an Arabic-language news service, the channel said. Sky News Arabia, the broadcaster's first foreign-language channel, said it is on track to launch early next year. The Abu Dhabi-based channel will broadcast to an estimated 50 million households across the Middle East and North Africa. In a statement to Arabian Business, the company said, Sky News Arabia is a 50-50 joint venture with BSkyB and the Abu Dhabi Media Investment Corporation. Both organizations remain committed to the launch of Sky News Arabia in the spring of 2012. And finally, data smuggling software could help citizens in countries operating strict net filters visit any site they want. Developed by U.S. computer scientists, the software, called Telex, hides data from banned websites inside traffic from sites deemed safe. The software draws on well-known encryption techniques to conceal data, making it hard to decipher. So far, Telex is only a prototype, but in tests it has been able to defeat Chinese web filters. Special thanks goes to Andy Sennett at Radio Netherlands Worldwide for the stories used. If you'd like to find out more about the global communications industry, check out Andy's blog at http://blogs.rnw.nl/media network, or just go to www.pcjmedia.com and you'll find a link there. I'm Paulette Macquarie.
Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son. But be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old honky-tonk monkey shines. Now you could study Shakespeare and be quite elite, and you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh.
That, of course, was Donald O'Connor with Make 'em Laugh from the movie Singing in the Rain. Now, why are we playing that? Well, back in the month of December, we did a special blooper show. So many of you enjoyed it so much that you said we should do it again. Now, that show was 55 minutes, and I'll tell you this, we had enough material, as we said on that show, to do 10 shows. So every few months, we're going to delve into the archives and take a listen to the lighter side of broadcasting. Now, for this show, I've decided to do something that I normally don't do, and that is why I have my script in front of me, which I spent 2 months writing. I'm just kidding, just a couple of hours, but I'm going to do this. There we go. I am shredding my script As such, and I'm throwing it to the floor. Yes, we're going to take it a little bit easy today. Now, our first batch of bloopers come from Australia, from the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. They were recorded way back in the 1960s by a radio amateur who loved radio. He loved radio so much that he would let his tape recorder record at nausea 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just to pick up the odd news bulletin. When we were going through the material that he sent, something that came to mind was, the announcers must have a drinking problem. Because if you are going to read a story on the air, make sure that it makes sense.
Now, the Victorian News, read by Ian Blakey. The inquest into the Southern Aurora rail smash was told in Melbourne today that the driver of the express, Mr. John Bowden, was dead before the accident. The senior Victorian government pathologist, Mr. James McNamara, said Bowden, aged 52, of Wodonga, had died from heart failure and not from his injuries. The pathologist said it was impossible to say how long before the crash that Bowden had died. He said that it was possible that he remained seated in the same position without anyone else being aware that anything else was but alive. The city coroner, Mr. Pascoe, is holding inquests on 9 people who died when the Southern Aurora and a goods train crashed head-on near the northern Victorian town of Violet Town on February the 17th.
We regret this interruption to the news. It will be continued in a moment.
Well, the news probably continued, but I'm not sure if it was with the same newsreader or not. Now, words can often trip up newsreaders. I've been in radio stations where the news director, who was on shift that day, or the editors, or one of the writers, knew what words would trip me up, and they would purposely put them into the news bulletin. But there are other words. I mean, words like, well, country names, for example, Canada, the United States, England, Germany, Holland. I mean, those seem simple enough, right? India, simple. Australia, simple. China, simple. Vietnam, simple. Well, simple for most of us, except for this guy.
This is the national news from the ABC, read by Bruce Webster. Here are the headlines. The Commonwealth Insurance Commissioner has begun a formal investigation into investments by the MLC Group in the electrical goods chain of H.G. Palmer's. The United States intends to increase bombing of North Vietnam's supply routes to the south. Government-backed benches are expected to move amendments to the Commonwealth's legislation on restrictive trade practices. The United States proposes to increase its bombing of North Vietnam. The American Defense Secretary, Mr. McNamara, told newsmen in Washington last night that there would be increasing emphasis on the bombing of infiltration routes in the north. The American commander in South Vietnam, General Westmoreland, said early this week that the bombing so far had failed to stop daily reinforcement of North Vietnamese units in the south.
Well, it sounds like he had a very good lunch that day. Another embarrassing thing that happens quite often in radio, more often than you may think, is leaving microphones on when something is going on air. This can be very embarrassing because it can pick up private conversations not just in the studio, but in the hallway, and also in the loo. Well, I don't know about the loo. I don't know what a microphone would be doing in the loo. But it can be embarrassing, like with this batch from the BBC.
92 to 95 FM.
And 1341 medium wave.
BBC Radio Ulster.
Well, we seem to have a technical problem going to the news, but we'll bring you the 11 o'clock news as soon as we can. You're listening to BBC Radio Ulster. Do not panic.
A Two girls were grabbed by a man in Scunthorpe. The teenagers, aged 13 and 15, were approached by a man on Sunday in the car park on Francis Street at around 9 o'clock. He let them go after they struggled and shouted out. He's described as white, around 5 feet 8 inches tall, with short dark hair. A £3 billion overspend at the Ministry of Defence is being condemned. Four big projects, including Typhoon Eurofighters and Astute Submarines, are being blamed for the majority of the budget crises. The MOD is already under the spotlight over the shortage of basic kit for frontline personnel. Tim Banfield from the National Audit Office says waste is unacceptable.
Track record hasn't been good. Looking at some.
Now, she certainly was a professional. Being able to continue without cracking up, with the microphone being left on in the adjacent studio. One thing that I happen to enjoy, and I know many of you have written about this before, is radio anecdotes. What goes on behind the scene that we don't hear about? Well, I recently contacted a good friend of mine by the name of Stuart Parkins. He worked at China Radio International for 12 years as an editor and program host. He had the strangest program of all, and that is a cooking show. Yes, a cooking show on radio. I mean, how do you do that? I mean, think about it. Imagine Gordon Ramsay, you know, doing a cooking show on radio. It's very odd. But occasionally, he would do things on the show to make it interesting because, well, it's on radio. And he tells us next about a funny story that happened with a couple of censors that he ran into the hallway after one of the shows aired.
It was one of the earlier cooking shows, and I often included a bit of advice on how to keep your kitchen tools working properly. And I started off, before we start, I'm going to chop up some beef bones to make a wonderful stock. But you must always, when chopping bones, have a very sharp cleaver, because if it's not sharp, it can bounce off the bone and go through your finger or worse. And anyway, I haven't had time to sharpen my cleaver, so never mind, we'll chop away. So I started chopping, bang, 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 and whoop, I dropped a tomato or something in a bowl of water. And the timing was, it was pure luck, it was perfect. It was just like I chopped my thumb off, and it plopped into the stock, the beef stock. Oh my God, that's painful. Never mind, my thumb's in the stock, it'll taste better, but I'll go to the hospital after the show. The show must go on. Right. And I continued the show. And again, it was probably that afternoon or later that morning, I'm not sure. The same two lovely, lovely old women. Mr. Parkins, we heard that you hurt your hand very badly when you were doing the cooking show. And as luck would have it, I think I have one hand in my pocket or hidden. I said, yeah, but that's okay. I went to the hospital and they bandaged it up and it's just my thumb, you know, I can get away with. Oh, that's terrible. They believed it. I mean, it just didn't occur to them that I'm not going to chop my thumb off in a studio. And if I did, I would certainly get to the hospital very, very quickly with my thumb in ice. But that didn't occur to them. It was on the radio, therefore it's true, which is quite amusing.
Stuart, by the way, if you're listening, so the object that I found in the technician's lounge, it wasn't your thumb? Yes. Well, anyway, let's continue on with another radio anecdote, this time from Bob Zanotti, who formerly worked with Swiss Radio International. He tells us next about going through the archive tapes, looking for something because somebody had passed away. But there's a word that said in the interview that is actually not the word that it's supposed to be. I think we should have Bob tell it. He says it in the most eloquent way.
I can remember one of my first jobs at SRI back in the early 70s was to review some archive tapes. We used to go back to the archives sometimes and rebroadcast material. And we had an interview with Conan Doyle, you know, the Sherlock Holmes Conan Doyle. It was Adrian Conan Doyle, an interview with him done in the late 50s or early 60s or something. And I think he actually died. That's why I was asked to pick out a clip that we could play on the air. He had a house in the Bernese Oberland, like so many of the English gentry did, and he had a lisp. Don't worry, I'm not going to be too graphic here. We could do it in Europe, but I think for a worldwide audience, especially being broadcast over an American station, I wouldn't do it. Anyway, he had the lisp. And he talked like this all the time. And he was talking about his father and what his father would do and his memories of his father in Switzerland. And he said the phrase, let me put it this way, the phrase he meant to say is he would come into the room, sit on the floor, and it came out as, my father would come into the room, he would, on the floor, and gaze into the fire. I called Mike McMahon, the head of the service. I said, Mike, you can't put this on the air. He said, what's the matter? He said, listen to this. He said, holy. I said, yeah, that's what I thought. And you broadcast this already? He says, yeah, nobody noticed.
Bob Zanotti, formerly of Swiss Radio International, telling a very funny story. And every time I hear it, I crack up. Well, we actually have one more, which is the most requested blooper clip that we have had. A number of you have asked to hear it again. Canadian journalist Barbara Frum, who passed away a number of years ago, was an institution in Canada. For many years, she hosted a show on CBC Radio called As It Happens, and then later on went to television with a show called The Journal. Now, during her time at As It Happens, a number of things happened. First, in the early days of As It Happens, the show was live. All the interviews were done live. And of course, telephone communications were not what they are these days. I mean, anything can go wrong. So imagine you're interviewing somebody. Okay, the subject is a cabbage. I know right now you're thinking, what? Yes, a cabbage. It's the largest cabbage in the world. So you decide you want to contact the farmer who lives all the way across the Atlantic Ocean in Wales. But there's a problem. Well, a couple of problems, actually. First, he's hard of hearing. Second, the phone line is not what it should be.
How big is big in a cabbage?
It is 5 foot across the top, you know. And it is
5 foot?
Huh? 5 foot across from one leaf to the other, you know. Across the top, 5 feet wide.
So if you measure around the circumference?
No, straight across.
You mean if you cut it in half, it'd be 5 feet across?
Pardon?
If you cut it in half?
Aye.
Would it be 5 foot across?
Pardon?
Hello?
Hello?
If you stand up next to your cabbage, where does she come to on you?
Up to my breast.
No kidding. You could roll that down a hill and kill somebody.
Huh?
You could roll that cabbage down a hill and it would kill somebody.
When?
Have you cut it yet?
I dismantled it, anyway. I just leaves off it, you know. But I've plenty more of the same thing.
How did you dismantle it?
Pardon?
Mr. McLaughlin?
Hello?
How did you dismantle it?
I pulled the leaves off it and I cut it down in parts. There's a big heart in the center, you see. And the heart was about 30 pound weight or 40 pound weight, you know.
How'd you get it so big?
I'm not telling you. A doctor.
Mr. McLaughlin, what do you feed your cabbage?
Pardon?
What did you feed your cabbage?
I don't hear you, please. What did you say there?
Mr. McLaughlin, I haven't got the strength for you today. I'm sorry. Why don't we call you on Monday?
I'm even working Monday.
You're working Monday.
You gotta come over to see it.
What did you feed the goddamn cabbage? You didn't hear that either, I suppose. What did you feed the goddamn cabbage?
Have I seen your picture of it?
I don't want a picture of it.
Yeah.
I just want to know what you fed it.
Huh? Pardon?
I want to know what you fed it.
Have I fed it?
Yes.
I'm trying to talk to it.
Say it again.
I talked to it in Gaelic.
I know you talked to it in Gaelic, but you must have fertilized it or something.
No. I just talked to it every day.
I hope the cabbage's hearing is better than yours.
Pardon?
I hope the cabbage's hearing is better than yours.
Do you want to show me a picture of it?
Why not? Sure. Mr. McLaughlin?
Hello?
Bye.
And that was the late Barbara Frum on CBC Radio's As It Happened, speaking to Mr. McLaughlin, the man who grew the largest cabbage. Anyway, with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Media Network Plus. We hope you enjoyed the show. We're going to be doing another one of our blooper programs in 6 months' time. So, you should always pay attention to what you're listening to on the radio, and if you hear something funny, don't forget to send it. And this is what you can do to contact us if you come across something strange and unique. Our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can also call our answer line, which is +44 20 3268 1399. That's +44 20 3268 1399, and you can leave a message up to 2 minutes. Also, don't forget to find us on Facebook. Just do a search for PCJ Media and Radio, join the group, and that's all you need to do. So, on behalf of the cast of people that helped put this program together, I'm Keith Perron, wishing you well. So, on behalf of Paulette McQuarrie, our technician Kevin Lee, so long, take care, 73s and 88 to the ladies. Media Network Plus has been a production of PCJ Radio. Check us out online at www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com.